Everyone's heard by now about the protests in India, but what is the NRC and the CAA, and why is everybody so angry about it? Well, firstly, the National Register of Citizens, the NRC, is basically there to document all the citizens of India so that illegal immigrants can be identified and deported.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad. I mean, who wants illegal immigrants in their country?
Well, when the NRC was published for the state of Assam, it had 31 million names out of 33 million people.
Good news! You've just proven that you're an Indian citizen.
These people were basically able to provide documentary proof issued before 1971 to prove that one's ancestors were residing in India before that date. That means that even if you were born in India after 1971 and have a valid passport and documentation to prove it,
it doesn't matter.
You have to provide valid documentation not only for yourself, but for your parents or grandparents as well, proving that they were Indian. But this is impossible for many Indians. Not everyone has that kind of documentation. Some people lived in villages back in the day, and there was no such documentation for them. What about those who were simple farmers, whose children are born inside the house? They don't have birth certificates or passports. And others, even if they did have such documentation over 50 years back, they may have lost their documents in a natural disaster, in floods which destroy their properties, or a house fire, or simply misplace them. For such people, bad news, you're now stateless. You are not an Indian, you are an illegal immigrant. But myself and my ancestors have lived in India for millennia.
Doesn't matter.
But my ancestors literally planted those trees and have lived here for centuries.
You can't prove it.
But where am I supposed to go? This is my only country. I'm Indian.
Not anymore.
This was the case with 1.9 million people in Assam when the NRC was implemented in 2013-14. And it's going to get worse because the Indian government has plans to implement it on the rest of India, despite widespread protests against it.
Hold on a moment. It may not have struck you just how nefarious this NRC move really is.
Imagine if you woke up one day and were declared stateless and an illegal immigrant in the country that you and your parents were born and raised in. I'll give you an example. Imagine my Indian uncle. Even though he was born and raised in India, and even though his ancestry dates back to pre-Mughal Azam,
मुझे हिंदुस्तान का शहजादा नहीं अपना बेटा समझिए और फिर कहिए कि अनारकली मेरे काबिल नहीं.
If he cannot find his deceased father's passport or valid documentation from over 50 years ago, my Indian uncle will be declared stateless and an illegal immigrant in his own country. The world is going to be flipped upside down for millions of Indians, particularly the poor and lower classes, who are going to suddenly find themselves stateless and treated as illegal immigrants, be deported or put in detention camps. But the Indian government has provided a solution: the Citizenship Amendment Act, the CAA. The CAA basically allows some illegal immigrants to apply and become Indian citizens, as long as they're not Muslims. You see, before 2014, there were plenty of people who moved to India from Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Afghanistan, and these people became illegal immigrants living in India. If you're Hindu, Sikh, Buddhist, Jain, Parsi, or Christian, you can become an Indian citizen.
Muslim? Wow, well, there's a special place for you. Detention camps.
Look, the NRC and CAA are designed to confuse people. Don't let them confuse you. When they're looked at separately, they don't seem so bad. It's when they come together that you really start to see the agenda. The NRC will filter out those who don't have documents proving that their ancestors lived in India. The CAA will then allow some Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, Jains, Parsis, and Christians to reapply for Indian citizenship. Those who can't will be headed for detention camps. It's basically a double filtration process to purify Indian society of many Muslims and others. Countless Indians, Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, Buddhists, Christians, and others, are protesting against this systematic religious discrimination. In the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, regardless of how much of this is a genuine threat and how much of this is just mass hysteria, we have to stop a moment and just think. There was all this momentum that was growing globally through mass demonstrations, and all of that momentum now seems to be lost. Who does this situation really benefit? And no one should have any doubts that the usual suspects are behind what we see happening against Muslims in the region. In fact, Ayatollah Mohsen Araghchi, member of Iran's Assembly of Experts, has stated, "Today the intelligence services of the evil triangle, Britain, US and the Zionist regime, are the main cause of divisions in Indian society." He added, saying that the recently adopted citizenship law in India has also been fostered and supported by this vicious triangle, and otherwise the Indian community, with all its sectarian and religious diversity, is a peaceful society. India is inherently a peaceful society. It is Zio America and the Hindutva thugs that worship them that is dragging India towards hatred and violence. In response to the countless Indians protesting against this clear, systematic religious discrimination, Indian Prime Minister Modi chose to isolate the Muslims, stating, "Those creating violence can be identified by their clothes." Those in India recognize this as a sly remark against the Muslim attire, like the skullcap and hijab. And it's precisely this kind of clear religious profiling which is fueling a surge of violent acts in India carried out by extremist fundamentalist Hindus. The extremist Hindus in question today are known to be those who follow the Hindutva, which is the Hindu nationalist ideology seeking to establish the dominance of Hindus and the Hindu way of life over all others. It's very important to note that this is not the common decent Hindu. Every Muslim knows what it's like to be the victim of generalization and stereotyping, and inshallah we will never, you know, point the finger at an entire populace for the crimes of a wicked few. No. Just as Takfiri Wahhabis don't represent the majority of Muslims, just as the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacist neo-Nazis don't represent the majority of Christians, so too do these followers of Hindutva not represent the majority of Hindus. Now, what makes recent events so significant? Well, it's the fact that those very mindless extremist Hindu thugs who subscribe to the Hindutva ideology have now become the ruling powers in India. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is the leader of the Hindu Nationalist Party, the BJP, who are Islamophobes and hate preachers. Prashant Waker of Nanyang Technology University writes how Modi articulates Islamophobia in his speeches, interviews, and podcasts. The article contends that while Modi's Islamophobia is executed subtly, it is nonetheless a function of the way in which Hindutva conceives of Muslims as subordinate to Hindus. And Modi is evidently a magnet for far-right Hindutva hate preachers, whose Islamophobia is reflected in their statements. And the BJP is anything but subtle.
Unka jeevan hi paap karne ke liye hota hai. Wo gold topi wala hota hai.
Desh mein har aatankwadi Muslim kyun hota hai?
Sawal ye hai ki Muslim dharm mein jo hai, aap jante hain ki 50 aurat rakhi hai aur jo hai 1050 bachcha paida ki. Ye koi parampara nahi. ये तो जो है एक जो है जानवरी प्रवृत्ति है।
हिंदू अलग संस्कृति है, मुस्लिम अलग संस्कृति है।
ये कमल का हाथ है, ये कटुए का गले को काट देगा चुनाव के बाद।
इस्लाम जीतेगा कि भगवान जीतेगा।
हर हिंदू अपने घर में हथियार रखना सीखे मेरे भाइयों।
Our country is called Hindustan, which means a nation for Hindus. Muslims have no business being in India, they should go to Pakistan or Bangladesh. And these were just a few examples of many given by BJP members and supporters. The message is very clear. Muslims are the problem, Muslims don't belong, Muslims are the enemy, and we must find a solution for them. We have to remember that poverty is extremely high in India. Cows are an integral part of human nutrition. But the consumption of beef has been banned in most states. Since the Modi party came to power in 2014, this ban on beef has been used as an excuse by Hindu extremists to carry out attacks against Muslims.
These cows at a breeding center in Jaipur aren't just well fed and looked after, they even have their own minister. The Hindu nationalist BJP party appointed him as Rajasthan's cow minister. Organizations like the Rashtriya Gau Raksha Dal or National Cow Protection Group have even targeted restaurants for serving beef. We will do whatever it takes to save cows. We won't let cows be slaughtered. If anyone even looks at a cow, we'll gouge their eyes out. Otaram Devasi, who is from the ruling BJP party, says state laws ban the slaughter of cows and they have to be respected. Now cattle traders are really worried that they will be stopped or beaten up or that their cattle will be confiscated. Muslims are associated with slaughterhouses, and the moment you have a Muslim name, these vigilante groups target you. They don't care if you're innocent. They just start beating you up.
According to India Spin, as many as 97% of these attacks were reported after Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government came to power in 2014. And half the cow-related violence, 30 of 60 cases, were from states governed by the BJP. They are attacking the vulnerable, the elderly, beating them with wooden planks, forcing them to eat and swallow pork. Innocent people are being targeted, harassed, beaten, dishonored, terrorized, and murdered by Hindutva mobs. And it's not only against Muslims. The Guardian even reported that a 78-year-old Swami, who was not a Muslim but believes in coexistence, was brutally attacked by alleged members of the youth wing of the ruling BJP, who kicked and punched him, chanting Jai Shri Ram, victory to Lord Ram. How did the BJP react to this? Well, CP Singh, a minister from BJP, justified the attack, saying that the Swami talks against Hindus. And he said that he makes anti-national comments, supports Kashmiri separatists and Naxal. This is the BJP, and this is the face of the Indian government today. While FP reported that India's Muslims are in grave danger while the country is taken by ongoing mass demonstrations and protests against the government, hundreds of opposition politicians and activists have been locked up, Trump boastfully declares when meeting with Modi that the world's richest democracy meets with the world's largest democracy. There were protests against his unwanted presence in India on February 23rd, and to add insult to injury, just before Trump arrived to meet Modi, the protesters were harassed, assaulted, and massacred. A Muslim businessman whose shop was burned down said that police officers encouraged mobs to destroy property owned by Muslims. It is reported that while residents of Modhpur had been protesting the citizenship law for several weeks, Kapil Mishra, a local leader from Modi's party, showed up and threatened to mobilize a mob to clear out the protesters, saying he didn't want any trouble while Trump was visiting, and warning that as soon as Trump left, he would take matters into his own hands. These backward extremist Hindus worship Trump and what Trump represents, literally. Just as they worshipped and wiped the boots of the British in colonial times, the adherents of Hindutva today wish to drag India to become a loyal puppet of the imperialistic America.
Namaste Trump! Namaste Trump! Namaste Trump! Namaste Trump! Namaste Trump!
Don't get it twisted, by no means was Gandhi a follower of the radical Hindutva.
Mohandas Gandhi meets with Muhammad Ali Jinnah in an attempt to bring the Hindus and the Muslims together.
He was a Hindu who believed in coexistence with Muslims and even learned from the great Islamic principles and personality. Imam Khamenei states that the leader of the Indian nationalist movement mentioned Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam about 70 years ago and said, "I have learned from him." Gandhi opposed the imperialists of his time, while the Hindutva submit to the imperialists of today. Don't forget that Gandhi was not killed by a Muslim, but by a Hindu fundamentalist. Imam Khamenei has warned that the hearts of Muslims all over the world are grieving over the massacre of Muslims in India. The government of India should confront extremist Hindus and their parties and stop the massacre of Muslims in order to prevent India's isolation from the world of Islam. To all the fellow Hindus, Christians, Sikhs, and others who are standing united with your fellow Muslims and resisting against the oppressors, I salute you, may Allah bless you and guide you. And to my fellow Muslims of India who are opposing the oppressors, may Allah bless you all, whether Sunni or Shia. May Allah strengthen you, may He embolden you, and may He increase your faith. The Islamophobes will only target those who they see as weak or cowardly, so now more than ever before is the time for you to hold your head up high and be proud of being, first and foremost, a Muslim. Now is the time for you to be righteous, outspoken, and shine, so that those who are in the darkness can see the power of the light.